your scripture reading from the book of Daniel, chapter 10, reading verses 10 through 21. Daniel chapter 10, verses 10 through 21. That's on page 604 in your pew Bibles, and we'll read together in unison. Keep in mind that Daniel had seen the Lord. He had seen the Lord appear as prophet, priest, and king. We said that's a picture that says 10,000 words. Daniel wanted to hear. He wanted to be reassured of what the future of the Jews would be like. God had spoken to him, but then through an ordinary angel. And then God sent Gabriel to reconfirm that message. And then the third time, the Lord Jesus Christ himself appears. And Daniel found strength in that. And now there is a conversation. There's some other actions that are taking place that we will look at today. The strength to speak the truth, beginning at verse 10. Together, and maybe chapter 10, verse 10. That's right. And behold, oh, I know what I did. Trying to use translations that we don't have. Excuse me. Okay, chapter 10, verse 10. Together. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man great beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I have been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. When he had spoken such words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And suddenly, one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, My Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I have retained no strength. For how can this servant of my Lord talk with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength remains in me, nor is any breath left in me. Then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me, and he said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said, Do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. No one upholds me against these except Michael, your prince. And may God bless his words to our hearts as we have read them and as they will be proclaimed to you for God's glory and for our good. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, how many people have the courage to look at someone and say to him, You're dying of cancer? I don't know how doctors do it day after day, but I'm glad they do, and I'm thankful that they do this difficult thing. Now, it is understandable that Daniel found it difficult to speak to the Jews about their coming troubles, and they were going to be horror stories, not simply from the Medo-Persians, but from the Greeks who would come after him under Antiochus Epiphanes and others, and then the Romans who would come beyond that. And Daniel was deeply saddened by what he saw. He couldn't eat properly. He couldn't even dress himself. That would have reflected his high position in society. He was overwhelmed with sadness when he saw the suffering of God's people, especially when those troubles came because of their sins. So he cried out to his Almighty God, a God who was his Father through Jesus Christ. And he cried for the strength to speak God's truth to them. And you will see today how God strengthened him for service. Our headings are two. One, Daniel received strength in his legs. And second, Daniel received strength on his lips. And our goals are that you will learn to rely upon the strength and boldness and wisdom that God gives to speak the gospel truth to those who are inside and outside of the church. Our first heading is Daniel received strength in his legs. The Bible says, "And suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands." Judah's future looked bleak. Most Jews were in captivity, and still, even after they were supposedly set free, many of them were allowed to go back, but more were still in captivity than those who were free. And then God spoke of more troubles that were coming. So they haven't left Babylon properly, and God is speaking of the trials that were going to be ahead. Last time we saw how Daniel mourned for 3 weeks. He didn't concentrate, he hardly ate anything, didn't dress for his high position. And then the Lord sent him a message through an angel. This was a most personal message. The angel here touched Daniel, a touch that caused him some consternation. And he started to shake. Daniel struggled to stand on his feet. He seemed reluctant to go to his fellow Jews and with the bad news and of what their future was going to be like. But when the angel came another time, he was probably thinking, "Oh no, is this going to get worse? How am I going to be able to stand up now?" But the angel spoke, verse 11, "Oh Daniel, man greatly beloved." The angel started to speak to Daniel in a most endearing way. The angel addressed Daniel literally as a man of preciousness. Our translation uses the word "man greatly beloved," greatly treasured. And look at the symbolism here. Daniel is down on his face and on his knees. And now the angel is going to lift him up, figuratively and spiritually. And this is the law of humility. Whatever goes down will come up, will be raised up by God. If you are humble before Him, He will lift you up. The thing is when you rise up, when God brings you through some difficult times, that you need to remember that you are raised up to work for God. God has blessed you with knowledge. You have to share it with others. Daniel here was overwhelmed and he found it difficult to speak. And so the angel comes to him and starts off in this warm and caring way. "Man greatly beloved," or "man of preciousness." But why did God call him a man of preciousness? What was unique about Daniel? Was anything unique about him? Daniel was precious, first of all, because he was absorbed with the glory of God. You saw it before when he refused to bow down and plead to the king for his request. Instead, he called upon the God of heaven. And he did it publicly. He wasn't ashamed. Why? Because he was absorbed with the glory of God. What will bring God praise? The second thing, the second way Daniel would be considered a man of preciousness is that he was a man who sought the good of the people. His people, through his words and through his work and through his prayer, he reminded them constantly to turn back to God when they were straying. He went to the king on their behalf and he prayed for them and he never stopped praying for them. Indeed, the Bible says the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. In this case, Daniel was a picture of Moses who would have gone to hell so the people of God would be saved. That's how much he loved them. Or like the Apostle Paul who cried out for the children and say, you're like the children of my own body. What a lovely picture Daniel was as an intercessor for God's people. The Lord Jesus said in Luke chapter 18 verse 1. Let's read that together. Let's begin. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Like a good doctor now, Daniel had to carry the news to the people. He prayed, God heard his prayer, God strengthens him, and he has to get up and take the prayer, take the news of the future to the people of God. Yes, and that news was, yes, there'll be glorious days ahead when Christ would come and would be that stone that grows and fills the whole earth. But there would be hard days before that, and there'd be hard days after. Very hard days for God's people. Verse 12 says, and then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. The angel encouraged Daniel not to fear the future. His God was big, and this is where you see the angel builds upon him. First he touches him, and he raises him up, and he stops him from shaking. And then he says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid anymore. Your God is big. His God cared for his precious things. Not just Daniel, but for the people of God. You know, if someone goes in the bus, you don't take off your diamond ring and leave it on the bus seat for someone to steal. You care for your precious things. You make sure you don't play with your ring. It's very easy to misplace it. You keep it near and dear to you. If you're at home, you make sure you lock it and put it away so no one can steal it. And so God was putting his arms around Daniel to show how much he cared for him. And then God is giving him a message to say, I care for my people as well. Sometimes you feel alone, that you're the only one doing something, and God is saying, no, you're not doing this job alone. Maybe you're frustrated with children or some other problem in marriage, and you think, oh, I have to bear these crosses alone. That's not how it goes. The Lord is always there with you. God would keep his people for the Savior who was coming. It may have seemed to them that God didn't hear his prayer. But God never, ever misses a prayer. Nothing bypasses him. Does not forget. So Daniel could go and speak to the Jews. But here's where it becomes very interesting. Verse 13 says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael was one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Daniel's deliverer, the angel of God, explained why he took so long to come. At an earlier time in Daniel's life, an angel was sent to him before he was finished praying. He went down before God, and before he could say amen, here's the angel talking to him. But now he's going on for a long time, 21 days. How long was Daniel praying? 21 days. Why was the angel delayed though? The angel said that the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me for 21 days. Who was the prince of the kingdom of Persia? The prince of Persia was most likely a demon. How can I say that? Why could it not be Cyrus or maybe Cambyses or some other Persian king? I'll give you a few reasons just to make you consider. First of all, no man, not even the great Cyrus or Cambyses, could have stood up against the power of the angel. Which man is stronger than an angel? So this must have been someone of extraordinary power. No ordinary man can stop an angel of God. This prince was powerful enough to cause a delay, but not to stop him from coming to Daniel to speak to him, to encourage him and to help him. Second, demons are called princes in the Bible. Satan himself, the head demon, is called the prince of the power of the air in Ephesians 2:2. Third, the one who helped this angel was another prince named Michael, who was the angel of the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ. Michael means one who is like God. And these demons, led by their leader, Lucifer or Satan, already had waged war in heaven. And if he would wage war in heaven against Christ and the other angels, why wouldn't he wage war on earth, where we know he is here to wage war? Doesn't the Bible say that the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour? In Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, we read something about this as well. Together, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. So the idea is, and that's how one of the reasons we believe that when the angel named Michael is described, it's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is a messenger. Remember, angel just means messenger. So Jesus is an angel of God, and often is described as the angel of God. And fourth reason I believe this is referring to demons, not to literal kings. Note that there were other kings of Persia mentioned at the end of verse 13. For I have been left alone with the kings of Persia. Now he spoke of kings. Now there was only one human king in Persia. And this had to be referring to some other types of being. So when you put these four reasons together, I think it is more convincing to me that this is referring to demons. This is a demonic struggle that is taking place, and that's what hindered the angel from coming as quickly to Daniel to comfort him, to strengthen him, so he would take this message to his fellow Jews. Why does God mention these details, though? What's the relevance of this, that the angel was slowed down? Obviously, there are forces who may try to thwart God's word from coming to the ears of the people. These are things, and they have a big word for today, unbeknownst to you. But know that they're very real. These things are, because we don't see evil spirits or demons or devilish angels, fallen angels, we tend to think that may be, those things don't exist. But the Lord talks about this constantly in the scriptures. He gives his angels charge over us. He speaks of children having a guard of angels to keep them. So not because you can't see something, it means it isn't there. And there are these struggles. There are these fights that take place. They are well organized, demons are. Look at a passage from God's word, from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12. Together, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. He's saying there are spiritual battles that we fight, and that angels fight in the background that we don't know about. It doesn't take away. And you see, the angels, the devil's angels, the demons, are quite well organized, just as the Lord's angels are. This is the reality of a unionized work, if you will. I know unionized, when you hear unions, you think bad, can't be good. This is a good union. They're working together for your good. That means, too, you must not stop praying. You must never stop praying to your Heavenly Father. If Daniel had stopped now at 2 weeks and 6 days, would he have had an answer to his prayer? Well, maybe, but we know he continued praying for 3 weeks, and that's when the angel comes to him. That's why the Bible says we must pray, not give up. Pray without ceasing. That is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Pray and be determined when you pray. I know there may be things in your life that you've been praying for a long time. And the tendency is to say, well, that's never going to happen. Maybe you're praying for a loved one to come to know the Lord, and you think after 4, 5, 10 years, that's not working. You give up. You never stop. And Daniel gives us a good example. Knowing that there are battles that are taking place without you knowing it. And we must never give up. For God wants to hear our prayers. Now, at the same time, here's where you don't follow the notes carefully, you will confuse it. At the same time, you must not worry, for you are in God's hands. He's always more powerful than demons. Yes, are demons real? Yes. Can demons stop angels and slow them down from the work? Yes, they could. But you are in God's hands. And he's always more powerful than demons. He sets boundaries for demons. No one could stand in the way of God redeeming his people. God says Jesus was going to come and that stone was going to fall upon and crush all other kingdoms and be established across the whole face of the earth. Who could stop God's kingdom? No one. Remember that passage of Elisha's servants saying, "Oh, this is too bad. We can't win. The Syrians are coming. The Syrians are coming." And God opened the eyes of that servant. And when he looked, he saw there were so many horsemen and chariots ready in the background to fight for God's people. They couldn't see them. They were spiritual. They were angels. But they were there nonetheless to protect God's people. Look at how God describes some of the ways he keeps his people safe. Job 1:12 together. "And the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person.' So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord." God says, "I will give you to go so far and no more." For other people, God may say, "No, you may not even go that far. You may not destroy that person's house. You may not destroy that person's family." God puts a limit on demons. Job 2:6 together. "And the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life. You may not kill him.'" 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 together. "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." God gives us this warm assurance. Yes, are you going to have some difficult times in your life? Absolutely. But he says there is nothing that will be too much that you cannot bear. He will provide a way of escape so you don't have to sin against God. And the psalmist pictures God's providential care in the most beautiful way. One of the psalms that we've sung already. Psalm 34 verse 7 together. "The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them." Can you see an angel? No. Are they here? Yes. God's angels encamp around his people to keep them. What does this mean then? And that's why I went into this diversion, it seems. This means, though, you must speak the truth without fear. Don't be bothered by what you can get back from other people or how someone might be upset with you. It is God's truth that will set people free, and it is his truth that will guide them how to live. The devil, of course, will come with his half-truths and his outright lies and deceive many. But you must speak with care. You must speak with love. You must speak also with force. That you must show that you truly believe what you say. If you're mumbling about the gospel of what you believe, people will look and think, "Does this man really believe what he's saying? Does he have a passion for what he is saying? Does it look like it's affected his life?" But if you stand up saying, "Well, I'm a Christian, but I'm not a fanatic about it." Well, you better be a fanatic about it. It should be something you love with a passion that you will not stop doing. You will want to tell people about the love of Jesus Christ. Why? Because you know who he is. Remember the picture. Jesus is your prophet, priest, and king that Daniel saw. Now he puts his arms around him and says, "Come on, time to go. Don't be afraid. Speak so that the people would hear the words and find comfort." They'll have to deal with the problems as well. But there's a comfort in God's words for his people. And verse 14, "Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision refers to many days yet to come." Remember our calculation of showing a 490 years that's divided into 7 and 62 and half and half. That point directly to when Jesus Christ was going to come. So in spite of all the troubles that were going to come from the Medo-Persians and then the Greeks and then the Romans, the main point was there. Jesus is coming. That was a source of strength and encouragement and hope for the people of God. So then the angel explained to Daniel Israel's future in detail. So Daniel realized that God never left his people without a witness. You know, you think of... Oh, How are people going to know that I don't want to be the one? I'm not the only, I feel like I'm the only one. And God is saying, no, I'll tell you everything's going to happen. You write it down. You relate to those who will come after you. So this encouraged him and strengthened him. And what an amazing gesture from God to fill an ordinary man with truth, with heaven's truth. Can you imagine the words of hope and life that comes from ordinary vessels? It might be from your preacher, might be from you, might be from your neighbor. Somebody that God is using might say some word that, yeah, might hurt someone a little bit. It might make them feel uncomfortable, but you know that's what's good for the soul. It's very difficult. Long ago, you used to use medicine and say, you know how awful medicine tastes nowadays because they sugar up things so much you can't use that anymore. But if you're old enough, you remember how bad some of the old medicines used to taste. But you know the effect would be good because it will work. And so it is. God's truth had to be proclaimed and proclaimed clearly. Matthew Henry said, God's treasures are put in earthen vessels. God's good news is put in you. What an encouragement this must have been to Daniel. I'm going to explain again, Daniel. I'm going to strengthen you, and you have to go out now. Verse 15 says, and when he had spoken such words, I turned my face to the ground and became speechless. The angel clarified truth for Daniel. This reformed his faith, but his sadness in the future was still there. He was still hurting. He's still thinking, how can my people go through this? How can they sin against God that God would have to bring this judgment upon them? But he had to learn to work through the hurt before the healing. And then he would bring the news to the Jewish people of Christ coming. Let's again go quickly to the second point now. First of all, Daniel received strength in his legs. Angel touched him, raised him up, shaking. He stops. He says, go out. Go and speak this news to the Jews. And this was his reluctance. But now in the second point, we see Daniel gets strength on his lips. And suddenly, one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. Verse 16. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him and who stood before me, my Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I have retained no strength. The touch of the lips was an enabling him to speak, and Daniel was overwhelmed, but he was being told, now I have to speak. He said, my sorrows, literally my bowels, he's struggling there. He was overwhelmed inside. His stomach, it was like his stomach was churning. But his lip could speak. Yes, it's not always easy to say this. It's not always easy to give bad news to someone. But that's what he had to do. That's what God had called him to do. Verse 17 says, but for how could this servant of my Lord talk? And here's a translation, a poor translation. We don't see too many in our Bible, but this is one of them. It should be read this way. For how can this servant of my Lord talk with this, my Lord? As for me, no strength remains in me now, nor is any breath left in me. He's saying, with the problems that I've got, knowing all of this, what do I do now? What do I do now? Isaiah said that his lips were sinful and God sent an angel to touch his lips to purify him. Jeremiah said he was too young to speak. Moses said he was a stammerer, he was stuttering, he couldn't speak. And Daniel was saying, look, I'm too weak. This is overwhelming. I'm not fit to talk about about the future. Let's read some of those passages and see the kind of excuses that were coming up in Isaiah 6, verse 5. Together, so I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. That's Isaiah. Jeremiah now, chapter 1, verse 9. Together. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Exodus 4, verse 10, together. Then Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant. But I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Lord, I can't do this. I've got some excuse why I can't speak for you. What did the angel do then? The angel touched him, his lips again. as he did in verse 10, verse 16, now again in verse 18, touching his lips again to strengthen him. Look how the Apostle Paul describes the Lord's work in him in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. Together, "And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." That's what God was doing through his angel to Daniel, making him say, "Yeah, that's all right, you are weak, but I'm here to give you strength. I'm here to give you the courage so that you can go out." Look at how the angel, look at the fullness now of this final touch that comes to Daniel. First of all, he said it touched his lips. Second, the angel reminded him that he was loved by God. Literally, "You are highly esteemed," or again, the same word, "You are a man of preciousness." Don't forget that you are a child of God with the authority of God to speak. He was a highly esteemed man, and God loved him. And you know what gives people courage to speak? You know you have someone at home to love. You're willing to do whatever it takes to protect that person. That's why people go to war. They're ready to fight and give up their lives to protect people they love. If people are fighting for money, we don't call them soldiers, we call them mercenaries. But those who are willing to give up and sacrifice their lives for the good of other people, we understand that that is a root. The root is love. And that's what Daniel is being equipped with. "I love you, Daniel." See, he's commanded not to fear. Why? He's saying, "I'm loved. I love you. And because I love you, that love must be so strong that you will fear nothing." That's what the Bible says. Perfect love casts out fear. Revelation 1 verse 17. Together. "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last.'" That's John now. And he gets raised up and said, "Don't be afraid." Same thing to Daniel. "Don't be afraid. I love you. You can work for me." And then the angel wished him peace. "Be strong. Yes, be strong. Peace be to you." Daniel then had no need to panic. No need to worry about what would happen to the people, how the Jews might react. And can you imagine those stubborn Jews? But he's saying, "Look, I'm giving you peace. And I want you to be strong, be courageous." And what a picture. First, Daniel was on his knees and under the palm of his hands in prayer. Then he's pleading to God. Then he's raised up on his feet. And now his mouth is open so he could speak the message of Jesus Christ. What a beautiful picture of one who went down, was raised up by God, and sent on his work. And these things all strengthened Daniel. And because of that, he was ready to fight. Ready to fight a lion or a bear or a leopard. He wasn't afraid anymore because God was with him. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 29 together. "He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength." That's the work of God. That's how much he loved this church. That's how much he wants the message of Jesus Christ to go out. That's why we must never be ashamed to speak truth. We live in a time when people mock you for speaking. Pastors are looked upon as with disdain. Speaking antiquated ideas, old-fashioned things that have no relevance to today. But we have to look at the congregation of God and tell them what God says to us in His Word, without fear, without feeling ashamed. For it's the power that God gives us that gives us the ability to speak truth in a world that so desperately needs it. Verses 20 and 21. And then he said, do you know why I've come and now I must return? He said, do you understand why I had to come? Now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. For when I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come. So the angel went back to his duty with the warning that when he had destroyed Persia, the Greeks were going to come. What an amazing thing. Remember, the Greece empire this time was not particularly big. It didn't threaten anyone. And yet, the angel of God was speaking this message of what would come many years down the line. What confidence that would give God's people when they would see. Yeah, here's what Daniel wrote. When did Daniel write this? In the early 500s. When did this happen? More than 200 years later, 250 years later. And God had already said this would happen. Yes. God had prophesied about Babylon when Babylon was just a byword. Nobody thought anything about Babylon. About Babylon becoming a great and powerful nation, capturing the Assyrians. And when these truths are fulfilled, it strengthens the hearts of the people and they say, yes, I know. I believe. What a blessing. God keeps His word. And you see, above all else, He was saying nothing was going to stop Jesus Christ from coming. The Medo-Persians, they'll be destroyed. The Greeks are going to come, but already said they will be destroyed. The Romans are going to come, and I will take care of them as well. Nothing would stop Christ from coming to bring salvation to God's people. Verse 21 says, but I tell you what is noted in the scripture truth. No one opposed me against these except Michael, your prince. The angel announced to Daniel that angels were being kept by the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 5. Together, for he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. But here, this one is the one who controlled others, who supported the angels in their work. Jesus is the prince of the church. Angels are never called prince of the church and are indeed in subjection to Jesus Christ. And this is the crux of the message. What hope this would give to the Jews, those who don't subject themselves to Jesus Christ will be destroyed. But His people will be kept alive. Salvation was going to come through Jesus Christ. Let's conclude. Daniel received God's comfort and strength for his legs and for his lips. After he was saddened about the future troubles that were coming upon the Jews, the comforts and strength equipped him to speak the truth. The good part, that Messiah was coming to save, and the bad things, the Greeks and the Romans would cause great trouble and Judah would sin in the future. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, first of all, praise God for His words. Psalm 119:130 says, the entrance of your words gives light, it gives understanding to the simple. You want to be wise? God's word. Second, sometimes words might hurt men's feelings, but you're not to be overly sensitive about feelings that are hurt because of speaking the truth. Hurt is necessary sometimes for some people to come to their senses. It might offend them. You know, if you speak to a Muslim and tell him, you're going to go to hell unless you look to Jesus Christ for your salvation. Now, that's not always a wise way of approach. But it's the truth. And sometimes you have to be able to be clear, speak very clearly with the gospel, that you're not making excuses or seem like, well, there are many roads up to God. There's only one way, Jesus Christ. And if they don't know it, they're lost. And you should never be ashamed or intimidated or try to fit in and say things that people want to hear. Men who reject truth do so to their own hurt. And hell waits for those who don't look to their Savior. So don't be afraid, don't be ashamed. Let men reject truth if they want. Your job is to bring them the truth as God helps you. But also remember that a loving God waits for those who are sorry for their sins and those who look to His Son for forgiveness. If they don't know, they have no way of coming to the Lord. Think of that person in your workplace. Maybe you haven't had opportunity, and maybe there are some rules where you can't talk about some of these things in your work situation, but if the opportunity opens up, are you willing to look at them in the face and tell them what you believe? I'm not saying you grab them and say, I got 5 minutes, you listen to the gospel, and that you might never get to talk to them again. But are you working to come to that spot where you can have a conversation with them about Jesus Christ, to tell them about this hope without which they would be lost? Or are you willing to stand before God one day and say, well, they were next to me, but I didn't want to offend them. If you don't offend them, they have no hope of heaven. The gospel is offensive, the Bible says. But speak the word with love. Yes, you have to speak the full counsel of God, but you speak it in love. And finally, if you're not a Christian, let me bring a word of love to you. Here's the word of love. You will die in your sins if you don't ask Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life and to take away your sins on account of His suffering on the cross. That's love. I love you enough to hurt you, but I know your hurt feelings will subside when you call upon the Lord and you are saved. Amen. Let us pray.